It is Sunday, July 14th, and that means it is time for Wrestling Observer Live, available every single day, Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi. Saturdays with Jim Valley at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific with Andrew Zarian. My name is Josh Nason. I'm a contributing editor for WrestlingObserver.com. And, you know, for the first time in 14 years of being with this very website, I finally get to host a solo episode of the most heard and the longest running pro wrestling show in the world, probably the universe. The boyhood dream. It's become a reality, everyone. Wherever you're listening in the world, I thank you for listening in on this Sunday. Andrew is off this week. He's enjoying a well-earned vacation. I wish I could tell you where, but out of respect for him and the family, you know, TMZ, paparazzi, all those type of things, I can't reveal it. I will, however, narrow it down for you. It is very hot. And hope to see him next week, not sunburned. But this week, there's a lot I always talk about in the world of pro wrestling, the sport of kings. So let's get into the rundown. And there's so much here to talk about, as there is every single week. A week ago, Stephanie Vaquer was in CMLL. She was coming off a great performance at Forbidden Door against Mercedes Moné. A week later, Stephanie Vaquer has signed with WWE. Stephanie Vaquer has already had her first match on the main roster in WWE. We'll talk about all the happenings in Mexico City from Saturday and some of the hypocrisy this week on social media about her decisions. Hypocrisy on social media, imagine that. And of course, because of that decision, we have a brand new CMLL Women's Champion. That's Willow Nightingale. I'm going to talk about how that went down Saturday and why AEW is a little late to the game in making her a big name in their own group. And you and I will look at the big news from AEW Collision Saturday, which was we're going to have new Trios champions. That's right. The Trios champions are now vacant. When's that match going to happen? Who's going to be involved? We'll chat about that. I have a lot of thoughts about John Cena's retirement tour. Now, it's an idea that really should have come along a long time ago for other soon-to-be-retired stars, and it could be a template. Mariah May, Toni Storm, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan. We'll talk about there's social media hypocrisy about those situations as well. And I'm going to give you perhaps the most delusional quote I have ever heard in pro wrestling. So stick around for a fun hour. It's you, me, and Wrestling Observer Live coming right back after the break. All right, welcome back to Wrestling Observer Live on a Sunday. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarian. And yeah, there's a lot to talk about from this past week. There always is. I can never remember. I say this every year with the lads at Wrestling Observer / F4W, Joe Currier, Ethan Renner, Brian Rose, Ian Carey, and the like, all of our great writers. I talk about this frequently, how there is no shortage of wrestling news. There's not like, there's no off season. And we always knew there was an off season, but there really isn't an off season when it comes to news. Even the smallest things become big. And even the news that we didn't think was going to come all of a sudden can hit us, like what happened this week with Stephanie Vaquer. So, of course, if you're listening to this, you know, she, the now former CMLL Women's Champion, made her debut with WWE. She signed with WWE this past week, which led to that debut last night being Saturday in Mexico City. This is wild how fast this all came along. So, of course, a week ago, as I mentioned in the intro, she was CMLL, and we assumed at some point she was going to hit free agency and sign one of the big companies. But, you know, there's just that association with AEW. She had that great match at Forbidden Door against Mercedes Moné and Star in the Rise. And we just figured, the assumption, I guess, and I guess we all figured, probably going to be AEW. Gives her more flexibility, allows her to work more dates. She can do some New Japan. She can do some CMLL. And of course, in AEW, get paid bigger, make her star that much bigger, her profile that much bigger. That's not what happened. She ended up signing with WWE, a little bit of a surprise. But of course, as we learned throughout the past week, some reporting from Dave Meltzer and others that she's from Chile. Of course, didn't need reporting to tell you that. But her lifelong dream was to be with WWE, with some we've heard about before. And just like that, she signed and had to essentially vacate the title and vacate her promotions a little bit early. I had to duck out on some dates, and we'll talk about that kind of some hypocrisy, I guess, to some of the comments online about social media. So we'll get to that in a minute. But let's go to last night in Mexico City. Made her debut, and this is defeating Isla Dawn, and she, of course, in Mexico City, and as I mentioned, And WWE made this into a big deal, even though the show is not available on the network or anything like that. Yeah, they made a mention of it on social media on their channel, Twitter channel and so on. Of course, there are other social media platforms showing her walking into the arena. And they made her into a very big deal all of a sudden. Of course, earlier last week, Shawn Michaels welcomed her to WWE. She's going to be starting with NXT for reasons that do make a lot of sense. But yeah, she made her main roster debut last night. And this really, to me, indicates how much WWE has grown in a lot of ways. And I know that some people that are kind of anti-WWE from all the past years, and I don't blame you from some of the ways they've kind of gone about things and driven people away. This really marks a big change, a sea change. And the fact that they're willing to acknowledge not only that there are other groups out there, and they've been doing this co-promotion for a lot of different reasons. Antitrust apparently seems to be the leading reason to avoid potential lawsuits and saying that they work with people and all this. But the fact that they brought someone in, and someone that is not that well known when it comes to mainstream wrestling fans, I think that's fair to say. And the fact that they're willing to not only feature, but make her seem like she's a big deal before she's long before going to be called up. I don't know how long she's expected to be in NXT, but the fact that they're willing to put a spotlight on her and really do an early intro of fans, that shows some growth in saying that there are big name wrestlers and top talents outside of our walls, so to speak. And we want to bring them into our walls and have them be even bigger. And this is why they matter. And this is why you should care they matter. And in the past, it's always been this, it has had this feeling rather of, well, let's hide them. Let's bring them up in our way, our characters, our names. And it's been a big change with that. So that's something to watch. And I think that's refreshing. And I think it is something that when it comes to bring in free agents, you have to show them respect. And I think Cody Rhodes, when they brought him over, I think that was a big first step, that they didn't bring someone in and immediately just kind of make them work their way up immediately in a top position. And that was while Vince McMahon was there. But there was just this, we're going to bring someone in to make them a star. Jade Cargill, very similar. Where we bring people in, they're going to be impact players. And Stephanie Vergara is going to be no exception to that. So yeah, she looks like she's going to go to NXT to start. And of course, you see some bristling online about that. And the reason, of course, which makes complete sense, is she's never lived in the States before. So to just send her, call up to the main roster, send her on the road for a country she's never been in before, I think some of us lose that perspective of what that is like, because so many of us have never gone through that and never will. So having her have time to acclimate to living and being in this new country and this new world, so to speak, I think that makes a lot of sense. So she's going to start an NXT. Julia is on her way at some point, and again, she's doing dates for Marigold, and I assume she'll be over full time at some point. So they have a lot to look forward to in the future. So the hypocrisy I want to talk about, of course, is the way that tribalism goes with pro wrestling, is that now it's whatever side the wrestler goes to that you are not a fan of, you tend to tear them down and they made a mistake and so on and so forth. So it was interesting to see online this week, and again, you always take this with a grain of salt given the sources, but the reaction to her leaving, going to WWE was obviously a bit of a surprise. And it's amazing, all these people who had probably never seen a Stephanie Vergara match, all of a sudden were super excited that WWE got her. The all caps people, the people that just type this and be like, oh, Triple H is cooking. And people that were so quick to say that AEW, all the momentum had been lost from the signing of Will Ospreay and Okada and Mercedes Moné, and that, the fact that the Triple H and the team were able to pull this off is such a big feather in their cap. And it is. And then, of course, the AEW side, basically, being upset and showing some frustration and so on and so forth, made their comments back and forth. So, yeah, I think it is a good thing for everyone. Because if Stephanie Vergara went to AEW and did what she wanted to do, and maybe she didn't want to work for three promotions, maybe she just wanted to work for one, that is a strong possibility as well. you know, she made the decision that is right for her. And if she went to AEW, and we've seen how, you know, stars come in the past, they have so many people on the roster, there's only so many spots that you can fill them in with. And would she be an every week person? Which, you know, at whose detriment would that be? Would they be able to elevate her? And that's the thing that I don't think AEW has been able to really master yet, is bringing people in and making them feel bigger. It takes a long, long time to be able to create those big stars that people want to see. And I think they've struggled with that. I think Swerve Strickland is a good example of someone that really had to work for it, really had to, you know, go this really long and winding road to kind of get where he is. And I mean, he's been on my show on this website before, and WrestlingObserver.com, done an interview with him years ago. And he just had it. But and everyone saw he had it. It just took them a very long time to get there. But you look at some of the people they brought in, Mercedes Moné. I mean, I would think that so far, you know, now she's a heel. I think that's certainly better. But is she feel bigger than before? Have the attendance numbers gone up and been a big change of business? Not really. Will Ospreay is getting there. I think people have really kind of taken him in a way. But can they take the talent there and elevate him to a level that people are like, I have to see him. I have to go pay to see him. Would they be able to do that with Stephanie Parker? I don't know. And I think the thing with WWE is, and you just kind of watch the PLEs, you watch Raw, you watch SmackDown, you watch the clips from Mexico City, as I did from last night. WWE just has this ability to take people, because they're white hot right now, this helps, take them at one level and just elevate them up by proxy of just being there. And they just make everyone feel so big and so important. And I think Stephanie Vaquer is going to benefit from that quite a bit. So very interested to see what happens with her. We're going to talk about, in our next segment, we're going to talk about Willow Nightingale, someone else that has a star on the rise, and someone I think AEW could have promoted a little bit sooner on. And she benefited from Stephanie Vaquer signing with WWE, winning the CMLL Women's Championship at Fantastica Mania, if I can pronounce that right. So we'll talk more about Willow's victory. We're going to preview the week ahead. Again, the most delusional quote I perhaps ever heard. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason coming back in just a few minutes. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wrestling Observer Live on a Sunday. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarian on this very warm Sunday. It has been hot here. I live in the Northeast. I live in New Hampshire, of all places. And it has been, I think, like the whole country, been under this heat bubble for, 12 straight days. Then we're going to finally get some relief on Thursday, but it's, even the little things like, you know, I went to a beer festival yesterday for the first time since pre-pandemic, and a lot of fun, but you are just pouring and pouring and pouring sweat. So we have it pretty easy in the Northeast most summers and most of the year, despite obviously the snowfall, things like that, the bitter cold, if you can get past that. But it is, yesterday and just this, I'm not a fan of humidity, and this is a, been not a fun couple weeks, but good, better reason to stay inside in the air conditioning. And saves on the sunblock budget, I find. So let's get to more of the talk in pro wrestling for the week. And of course, what happened last night and Saturday, if you haven't seen this, if you're on vacation, coming off the beach, haven't been plugged in to pro wrestling. We talked about Stephanie Vaquer leaving CMLL for the bright lights of WWE. And who did that benefit? Well, it benefited Willow Nightingale. Willow Nightingale, last night at Fantastica Mania. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Of course, one of those terms you really want to add some emphasis. Fantastica Mania. There, that's a lot better. That's a lot better. Used to be a pro wrestling ring announcer back in the day. I don't know if you would ever imagine that. But again, just a couple days after she was unable to defeat Mariah May. We'll talk more about her in a minute. To win her second straight Owen Hart Cup. Willow Nightingale is the CMLL Women's Champion, defeating Aviva Van and Luvia Saturday in a three-way at CMLL New Japan Fantastica Mania. And yeah, she picked up the victory there. So it's her third title, third major title in the last 14 months or so. She won, the New Japan Strong Women's title. She won the TBS title. Of course, the Strong Women's title was not originally planned for her to win, but she picked up that victory, of course, when Mercedes Moné broke her ankle during that match unexpectedly and in the final, and Willow ended up getting the victory as a result, which was the right decision to make. And then she won, of course, the TBS title, and it won last year's Owen Hart Foundation Cup, the tournament, and of course this year losing in the finals to Mariah May. And yeah, this is really her first run in CMLL. She'd been on three events this past March in trios matches, and it's interesting because if history is our guide, she's going to have a long reign with this title, and that's good for her because those other two title reigns were short. And I say that because I was doing some research on this last night. So Vakur's reign lasted 285 days. It's pretty safe to assume it would have lasted longer had she not departed. And following that followed a long reign from, I'm going to mispronounce this name, Princess Sugehit, S-U-G-E-H-I-T. I apologize for my Lucha Libre fans. I do not know how to pronounce that. She had a reign of 1,027 days. That followed Vakur's reign. Marcella, 704 days. And then Dalisa Kribera, 983 days. Again, I apologize for my mispronunciations. I'm not a huge CML fan. But yeah, the point being, long title reigns happen frequently. If you go back in history, pretty much almost every champion, women's champion reign, it lasts a very long time. So if history tells us anything, this is the start of a very long reign for Willow Nightingale. So congratulations to her. And what is, I think, interesting about this is she's finally getting the chance to show what I think everyone has seen for a long time, and that she can be a really, really big star in this business. And I say that because she is a natural babyface, and you don't have a lot of those these days. Everyone wants to be the heel because it's easier. We've heard 1,000 interviews about people say that, oh, they like to work the heel better and so on and so forth. You know, Randy Orton always comes to mind with that, you know, people just love him, but he always says, yeah, I love playing the heel. MJF, a lot better heel than a babyface, I think, at this point. And we'll see how that plays out this Wednesday, rather, as we talk about that match coming up against Will Ospreay. And she has this natural thing about her. And as I mentioned early on, this is a good example. Again, so I was talking about Stephanie Vakur, what would AEW do with her? She would come in as a star, and I'm sure she would push different, very similar to how Mercedes Moné was pushed. But Willow should have been pushed to his star level a long time ago. And I think so, again, from Northeast, I saw AEW in Boston. I think this was at the Aganis Arena, one of the shows AEW did prior to when they did work the TD Garden for Blood and Guts. And she worked, I believe, a Rampage match, if I'm remembering right. And of course, she's from the Northeast as well. So, but still, you know, sometimes the indie talents that they bring in, you know, there's either a resonation with the audience or there's not. And people, they immediately were into Willow, and she had a great match. She lost, but there was something there where you're like, huh, this crowd of several thousand people really is into her, despite her just being at that point really just an indie star for the most part. And not like, you know, one of the most pushed women in the indies or anything like that. Not one of these classic indie runs that get someone signed. But there was something there. And she kind of kept going and going. And finally, it's like, are they going to sign her? Are they going to sign her? Are they going to sign her? Finally, they did. And since then, I think it's been a great signing. But I think where AEW really missed the boat is they should have had her beat Jade Cargill for the TBS title. That would have elevated her to a spot even higher than she is now. And I think she's obviously well-liked and well-respected, but there's that kind of that other, you know, that other element there that they have not really got behind her at. And I assume at some point she will win the AEW women's title. Obviously there's a lot going on there with Mariah May and Toni Storm and that whole angle, but she has this thing, and they should have addressed this a long time ago and really kind of got behind her again, had her beat Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill wouldn't have lost anything from having a defeat, and you know how the Jade Cargill run can end at some point. As we all know, that TBS title reign just lasted too long, and there was no real challengers, and she just seemed to be the most obvious choice, and they just didn't do it. So CMLL taking the ball, and it's a benefit of this relationship between the three parties, New Japan, and CMLL and AEW. We'll see how this goes. But congratulations to Willow Nightingale. She is now the CMLL Women's Champion. And let's talk a little bit about more hypocrisy, shall we? With Mariah May, Toni Storm, Liv Morgan, and Rhea Ripley, because there was a lot of chatter about that this week. And after the very, very great angle, I thought AEW Dynamite was awesome on Wednesday. It's been a really good run the past few weeks, I think, as most people have noticed. It's a very coherent show, makes sense, and the jaw-dropping, do all caps, angle at the very end with Mariah May standing over her friend, her mentor, her partner in AEW Women's Champion Toni Storm. Bloody Toni Storm, like really, really, really bloody, just heightened by the fact of Toni's blonde hair and light features. That just the blood just like, it seemed like an extra level of red. I put it that way. It just helped so much. Kind of like when wrestlers wear white, like when, you know, CM Punk, I remember for the dog collar match, famously wore his white trunks or the white shorts, and that, you know, an old wrestling trick. But Mariah May just won the Owen Hart tournament. She will face Toni Storm at August All In at London's Wembley Stadium. And we saw how we knew that the turn was going to come at some point, but we didn't know it was going to be that quick and that aggressive. And immediately the story's got a lot of bite into it. And there was a lot of chatter on X and Twitter, as there always is, about how, you know, AEW is properly to paraphrase, essentially they're doing it the right way, that their world title angle is built around this long running story and violence and just how it's just so much better than what WWE is doing with the Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan angle built around this love affair with Dominic Mysterio, and how this has gone about more sexually charged and so on and so forth. And there were some people point out, actually, there's some sexual charging on the other side too. It's just a whole kind of thing. And one of those, again, depending on what side you want, you align with that side. And it's unfortunate because people are just missing out on good stuff all the way around just by virtue of wanting to argue into the ether with people on Twitter. So it is, I think everything is clicking there. I think there's interesting stuff on both ends. I think, you know, I don't have to tell you that wrestling, but I will tell you that wrestling works better when there is conflict, and that is what the game is all about. The conflict in WWE is between Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley, because not only did Liv Morgan and storyline take Rhea Ripley out and send her up for several months, but she is screwing with the group that Rhea Ripley helped found in this and has become a huge star in doing so. People want to see her get her revenge, and we'll see kind of where the Dominic angle comes in, because he's going to have to make a choice. And now people on the AEW side are going to want to see Toni Storm, I think, get revenge. I think there's a very good chance we get a lot of babyface cheers, so to speak, for Mariah May, because of just how violent she is and how everything was so different. So it'll be interesting to see how they really lean into that. I assume they will, because Toni Storm right now, of course, is a great babyface. People just love this character and what she's been able to do with it. So it makes a lot of sense for her to do that. But again, you have these people back and forth online that are saying, oh, this one's better, or this one's better, or this one's better. This is why, and this is how AEW builds versus WWE. And I feel bad, because they're just missing so much good stuff. The same people that will complain about Will Ospreay are missing some fun matches. The same people that are complaining about WWE are missing these moments that the company is making in these cities and these crowd moments that are just like off the chain, and missing the rise of a guy like Jacob Vatu, who just in within like a couple weeks seems like he's going to be like the guy, a major player over the next few weeks. And now this bloodline angle seems to have revived itself, especially with the impending return of Roman Reigns. So a lot of fun stuff. My point is, as we come up on the break, there's fun stuff in all these companies. And instead of just looking to crap on it and looking to downplay it and why your side is better, drop the sides and just cheer for what you like, and try sample some of the other stuff, and sample some more stuff with us on Wrestling Observer Live. We're just going to come back in just a few seconds, talk about John Cena and the most delusional quote I've heard about in pro wrestling. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right. Back with you on a Sunday is Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. filling in for Andrew Zarian this week. Had a lot to get to the segment, so let's jump into it. Let's kick off what I think was the most delusional quote I've heard forever in pro wrestling. This comes to us courtesy of Essentially Sports on YouTube. And Trey Holder is the host. He did not say this quote. However, he's talking to Anthem CRO, that's Chief Revenue Officer Rob Kligman, who used to work for WWE for 8 years in a variety of positions and ended his run. See, Vice President of Global Digital and Integrated Sponsorship Sales. Say that 10 times fast. He was just brought on by Anthem 3 weeks ago. Interesting interview. The guys talked for about 20 minutes about TNA and about the crossover and so on and so forth. He said, Rob did, said this quote. I'm going to play the whole thing, including Trey's lead-in. So courtesy of Essentially Sports, let's get to this right now.
So when you think, I mean, anytime you have a merger of any organizations, you know, I guess there's strengths from each side. I mean, if you had to say what the WWE brings versus what TNA brings to that merger, you know, what would you say is the biggest strength of each organization?
So we both have historical realms behind each brand. The brands both can speak for themselves and stand for themselves. Right now, the difference really is the distribution mechanism that WWE uses to push their content out versus what TNA does. Right now, we're focusing on getting that distribution even larger than it is for TNA, but that's the big differentiation point. The production is the same quality and the content is the same quality. The difference is the distribution. So that's one of the big reasons why I came on board, was to help the distribution work with our team internally at TNA and lock in an opportunity for the fans to see it worldwide. And that's our ultimate goal. But right now, that's where we see the differentiation point between World Wrestling Entertainment and TNA. It's simply distribution. Because when you look at the content, the production, like I said earlier, is spot on. And the content and the characters are spot on. So once we get that distribution deal, I think you're going to see a little bit more of an even keel between both organizations.
Yeah. I was, as Brian would say, Brian Alvarez, gobsmacked at that. Saying that the difference between WWE and TNA is it's simply distribution and content distribution. Now, I appreciate his bravado and his confidence in his brand. Of course, you don't want to go in there and say the main difference is the difference is we cannot catch up, or we cannot ever hope to achieve these heights. But when they say, and I think I had this in the clip, you know, he said that the thing is more the even keel between organizations. I don't think anyone believes that. Anyone. I don't know. If you were to go to TNA talent, would they believe that the only difference between WWE and TNA is distribution? I don't think so. Like if TNA gets on Amazon Prime, for example, is that going to make a big difference? I don't know. Some other quotes he said during the thing. And again, I appreciate the bravado. I just don't believe it. I just don't. And so, one of the other things he said, if I can find this, this quote, one that he also said, you know, we're not far away, we're close. Here's one. He was talking about believing in the business. I think, you know, I think that's where you were seeing the correlation. You bring up great stars, great talent. Talk about Joe Hendry. Is making us start to believe even further that this is a real business that has a lot of legs and a lot of fan base behind it. You just change a couple different things and all of a sudden it's a mega property. We're not far away and we're close. I just don't see them as being close. Certainly, you know, TNA has a rich and storied history, and you look at all these stars that are currently in other organizations, had long runs in TNA. However, as you and I know, dear wrestling listener, TNA is quite a checkered history in terms of quality, in terms of strangeness, in terms of Russo and Bischoff, remember that whole era, Hogan, and all these older wrestlers coming in just collecting checks, brother. And they came in and the company just really took a hit. And it is, they hit the point that they changed their name to Impact Wrestling. And now they've changed back. So I can, again, appreciate the bravado and the confidence. But I think if you and I are in, or Rob had a true serum, there's a lot more than just distribution. And there's not going to be an even keel. TNA puts out a quality product now. And I think they're constantly going to be in the shadow of the past. It's just the way that it goes. And you can blame decades and decades of problems on this. actually decades to decades might be the whole organization's run, but like the last decade plus or whatever you want to say. And it's just, that's what happened. But with AEW in the mix, with New Japan, with, I mean, TNA is a worthy player now. They put a lot of quality stuff out there. This crossover with NXT is working for NXT, is not, I don't think, working as much for TNA in terms of TV viewership. Mike Gilbert, a guest of mine on my podcast, Josh Nason's Punch-Out, basically pointed out, to paraphrase on Twitter this week, why is TNA hotter in NXT than in TNA itself? You know, when the Rascals came out this week and they get a big TNA chant and the crowd is more into TNA than the actual TNA fans are. So I don't know. It is, I heard that and I wanted to bring it up because I just, I'm just surprised at anyone that would think that and actually believe that. But, you know, TNA will never die. We'll see what happens. And good luck. Good luck to Rob and the rest of the group. A couple other things real quick. Of course, John Cena retirement tour coming up. There's been a lot of discussion about that. I am fascinated by this because I don't think there's been a real tour like this in wrestling history before. I could be wrong. I need to ask Dave Meltzer about this. But in terms of a Kiss level a tour, the Eagles or all these bands that are probably a lot older than you listening right now. But these bands that come out and they do retirement tours to make a ton of money. And you haven't seen this in pro wrestling. And I thought it was brilliant. This is a very pro WWE episode. Apologize to everyone, my WWE haters. But you gotta give the devil their credit, right? Devil their due. So John Cena, they're going to do this retirement tour. And I think it is so smart to do. And it did harken back to why didn't AEW do this a little bit more. Sting, Dave Meltzer, I think, talked about this on Wrestling Observer Radio on Friday and talked about how there were some appearances that AEW did not even advertise ahead of time. You know, Sting's last time in X Market. But to really kind of think of your talents, your wrestlers, as like touring bands and performers is what they are. So if the performer's like, this is my last run, well, isn't it everyone's best interest to get every single drip out of it? And that's what they're going to do with the Cena retirement tour. I'm sure it's going to be sold out houses across the board. They're going to push the hell out of it, and it's going to make a ton of money, and it's going to do John Cena right as he heads out the door. Now, a lot of people, of course, don't expect John Cena to be fully retired because, as we know in the pro fight game and pro wrestling, you know, retirements don't exist. It's just a question of when the next check comes, how big the offer is, how big the enticement is. Look at Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Kane, and The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels came out of retirement, and we all just kind of crossed out of our memory because we're in Saudi Arabia, and it was a god-awful match. Just awful, awful, awful. I imagine if that match aired these days, the social media folks, the pro WWE people, the all caps people, would just say that match was fire and how great is this and this is awesome and all that, right? This how delusional some of these people are. So, but this Cena retirement tour is going to be a lot of fun, and I am looking forward to it and seeing how they pull this off, and is going to be a huge money maker, and good on WWE and John Cena for figuring out how to do this. All right, so we got a few things announced for Raw. Of course, Rhea Ripley is officially going to make her return. No big surprise. And we have Drew McIntyre making his return. And we hit the next chapter as we slowly approach the eventual match with CM Punk. Should be a lot of fun. Open question. What happens if CM Punk gets injured again? How does that work? At some point, is he just become a personality only? Is that what anyone wants? Is the time that he's been injured, are they going to add that, like tack the time on the contract to the end, or are they satisfied with what they're getting? How does that work? I'm so curious. Damian Priest and Gunther will have a face-to-face. Sheamus versus Bronson Reed. I'm sure we'll have a few more things added. Let's go back really quick to the last night. AEW Collision, of course, was taped Wednesday after Dynamite. And if you're listening to this, you probably already know that the AEW Trios Championships have been vacated. That's right. Jay White is out of action. And what that means, at least in storyline, is that Juice Robinson said that, you know, he was part of the champions too. He's part of the Bang Bang Gang, right? So that means, you know, under Freebird rules, they can all share the titles. It's not what Christopher Daniels said. Daniels came out and said, this is not going to happen. You can't do this. So he is vacating the titles. And instead, what's going to happen is the Bang Bang Gang, the reformed Bang Bang Gang, so to speak, with the Guns and Juice Robinson, They're going to take on the Patriarchy, Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne in the future. So we'll see what happens with that match. Of course, I expect the Patriarchy to win that and become the new Trios champions. I think you know, Christian Cage with titles can be a lot of fun. And yeah, we'll see what kind of happens with the Bang Bang Gang. I will say, I just want to put this out on record. I think when the Guns hit free agency, the Gun Brothers, I think they're going to make a lot of money, and I think they're going to get a lot of interest from WWE. I'm just going to throw that out there. I think they're young and talented, and they don't wrestle as much as they should. They just don't get a lot of TV time, and I think they are maybe not main roster yet, but you give them a good run in NXT, and then parlay that into, I think you have a long-term good tag team in WWE down the road. Just put a pin in that. I think unless AEW really kind of figures some stuff out, they could be seeing them go somewhere else if they want to. Who knows? But I think they've earned it. And speaking of great tag teams, FTR made their return at AEW Collision last night, coming out to defend the new Dynamite Kid, Tommy Billington, in the show's opening segment against Don Callis' family. We'll see what's going to be next for them, and I assume some feuding with the Don Callis family. And we also had last night some different stuff added for AEW Dynamite 250 coming up this Wednesday. Of course, you already know MJF taking on international champion Will Ospreay, and that's going to kick off the program. Should be a hell of a match. There's some question, of course, of why would you say this for pay-per-view? But, you know, this is it's what you do. You have a partner you're trying to get to renew your deal for a number that you love, and you put on some big matches, and that's what they're doing. This is what we've asked them to do for a long time. So we'll see what happens there. Of course, another dream match in a lot of ways, AEW World Champion Swerve Strickland taking on Kazuchika Okada, the Continental Champion, champion versus champion. No title will be on the line. Is it going to be an actual finish to this, or is it going to be a schmush? We'll see what happens there. TBS Champion Mercedes Moné taking on former AEW Women's Champion Nyla Rose. It is always a good indicator when a talent who really has not been on the main roster in months, that being Nyla Rose, she's been kind of doing her thing in Ring of Honor for a while. It is always a tell when they come onto a show and get a win. And that's what happened with Nyla Rose. She randomly picked up a win on AEW TV this week and on AEW Collision. And then all of a sudden that was to set up a match against Mercedes Moné. So that's always a tell if you notice that in spoilers, or if you're like, oh, why is this person randomly wrestling? It's because there's something going on with them the following week. Mariah May, of course, we talked about her earlier. She's going to have some thoughts to say, and that should be a fun segment to watch and see how that plays out. And TV time with Chris Jericho, everyone's favorite segment. So that's all that's announced as of Sunday. Of course, there's always more to come. I'm sure there'll be some more exciting action and matchups. And then Hologram. Yes, Hologram. The former Aramis, is going to be in action on next Saturday's Collision. So he'll make his debut, and they're going to call him, or at least as we already know, Hologram, HOLO.GRM. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, there was another segment last night, so we got a little bit more of a look at his outfit. Apparently, this has been a Tony Khan idea dating back years. You want to bring Aramis in. And just during the pandemic, some stuff happened, just didn't work out. So he is back, and this character that he is, Tony Khan has wanted for a long time, is finally going to get his run. And we'll see what happens. And you know, should be fun. They have a lot of luchadors. Remember Bandido? Remember him? And we're almost done with this show. We still have one more segment to go. A lot more to talk about in Wrestling Observer Live. So come on back and we'll talk more about some injuries, some new signings, and more. Wrestling Observer Live, back in a second. Final few minutes here on Sunday, Wrestling Observer Live, the fastest hour in pro wrestling. Take that, Rampage. But my name is Josh Nason. It's been a blast being here. Going to go through some quick hit news, and I don't know, maybe we'll make this a regular thing if you guys are into it. You know, sometimes people go on vacations and all that, and it's fun to talk to you. It's fun to talk about some pro wrestling during the week. Of course, I host Josh Nason's Punch Out, an occasional podcast on WrestlingObserver.com. I'm a contributing editor there, along with the other fine writers at WrestlingObserver.com. Stop by for all your news and notes and all that good stuff. Some of which I'm going to go through a quick hit right now in case you missed it. Trent Beretta, I'm talking about AEW. Apparently out of action with an injury. He's had some injury issues in the past, so that's why he's been on screen with the Don Callis family, but hasn't actually been in action yet. So we'll see what he is going to come back and take on Orange Cassidy as that blood feud continues. Natalya, did you see this over the weekend? Apparently she's re-signed with WWE and has not been yet confirmed by Dave Meltzer as of when I'm recording this right now. It could happen at any minute, but she has not come out to deny that she is reportedly assigned this new multi-year deal. It's been reported by PW Insider, Fightful, and so on. And I was, you know, it was just a slight bit of disappointment. I thought she might have had a fun two-year, three-year run outside the Fed. Go to AEW, go to Stardom, New Japan, do the CML thing, and just wrestle all over the world against anyone she wants to really kind of finish out her career. But apparently she's sticking with the WWE, so good for her. Hopefully she got paid. TJ Wilson, hopefully he's going to be sticking around as well, sounds like. So good for them. But yeah, I was kind of hoping that maybe we'd get one last run out and about. And who knows, that could happen at some point, but good for Natty. Get the bag, right? Mark Briscoe versus Roderick Strong set for the Ring of Honor Championship coming up at this month's Death Before Dishonor. Yes, that event is happening 2 weeks away, and the Ring of Honor quest continues. For what is its purpose? What is its purpose? To collect $10 a month from people, I guess. I don't know how many people at this point, but all kinds of other news happening. Jim Ross undergoing wrist surgery, so best of luck to him, and that we're going to call it good for this week. A lot of news, so much more could have got to. Here on Wrestling Observer Live, you can listen to us again every single day. All types of audio on the website. Big thanks to producer Dom. Thanks to all you for listening. This has been a dream. I've loved this show forever, and I'm glad to host it this week. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday. Thank you much. Have a great weekend and a great week.